Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in today. I am Mike Metz, your host for the hour, along with engineer Mike Murphy and our Milford Township neighbor, Pat Schlerbaum. And because KHOI is the heart of our Iowa community, Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, joins us to share her heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messages later in the hour. You know, Pat, it's the last week of September, and these last few days are feeling somber-like during the day, but gosh, the evenings sure bring in cooler relief. What's happening on your little patch of this side of heaven?
Oh, it's very quiet these days, particularly in the afternoon. I'm going to have some designated time today to watch clouds because somebody has to do it.
Oh, that's good.
You know, just for a short time. And if there's any pelicans up there, I'll be watching for pelicans too.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep your eye on those clouds. It's like herding cats. So later in the hour, we will visit with Mike Kellner, Prairie River's Public Relations Coordinator. And we will also be joined by Susan Guiasta, Communications Officer for the City of Ames, and Tracy Peterson, Ames Municipal Engineer. But, you know, first, Pat, I had an opportunity to visit with Stephanie and Todd Burris, the proprietors of Ames Wild Birds Unlimited shop here located in Ames, and we talked about some of our feathered friends. I'm here with Stephanie and Todd Burris from Wild Birds Unlimited here in Ames, Iowa. We're sitting here in your backyard, and what a wonderful day. You've got a number of species. We can see chickadees. I can hear nuthatches. We've got one of those confusing fall warblers that we're not sure of. It almost looks like a palm warbler. But gosh, migration. We're this time of year. What can people expect maybe to see in the next week or so that you're familiar with?
I was thinking of what we've already seen. It seems like the blue jays have been in their process of migrating for the last few weeks. They're one of those interesting species that do a partial migration. So the blue jays that we see in our yards during the summer are different than the blue jays that we see in the winter. The blue jays that you see in northern Minnesota or the Great Lakes are the blue jays that come here. And they replace the blue jays that are here because they go farther south. I think they just kind of shift down. I suppose there's always a little bit of jumping over, but I think for the most part. Well, and then you've got northern flickers that are coming through right now, too. Some of those birds will stay around, but we've been getting a lot of reports from people seeing large numbers of them. And the thing that's kind of interesting that a lot of people don't realize is flickers are woodpeckers. Even though they spend most of their time on the ground, people will ask, what's that bird that looks like a woodpecker, but it's out pecking around in my lawn? Well, it's a northern flicker.
Looks like it's got a cottontail.
Yep. When it flies, it's very distinct. But they're migrating through now as well. The warblers, as you mentioned, are been coming through for several weeks, it seems like now, and will probably continue to for a little longer.
There are a couple of reports that we don't see as many bluebirds this year as we have in the past. Did maybe last February have something to do with that, when we had that real cold snap?
It could be.
Okay, well, that's a good answer.
It was one of the things when we were out at Dean Buechler's earlier today. Dean was talking about not producing bluebirds. I think they last summer he said they didn't produce any tree swallows. This year, he said they had 47 tree swallow offspring, and they had, 21 bluebirds offspring, and he said that was huge because last year they had less than 10. Mm-hmm. So this would be 2 years in a row, and Dean has 55 nesting boxes. Yeah. So he said that he doesn't know what's going on either, but the bluebird numbers are way down, and that's certainly been the case for what we've anecdotally heard from a lot of people that have boxes and just haven't had production. We monitor 10 boxes over at the Ames High Prairie. This year there was only one bluebird that nested and had 5 offspring. All the other ones were utilized by wrens, I think in 8 of the boxes, and then one of the boxes had issues with wasps all summer long and end up providing habitat for anything, but it certainly could have been the cold weather back in March. It seems like we've had that a couple years in a row now, mm-hmm. where we've got start off with a somewhat of a mild winter and then just get pounded really hard. And bluebirds are one of those species of birds that don't necessarily do a full migration. They seem to shift as far south as they need to find food. And if they can find food throughout the winter, they stick around. But as soon as they can't find food, then they go farther south. But a lot of those birds probably were maybe hanging around, and then the weather came and they've got nothing to, no resources to find.
I've had mixed reports about some folks are not seeing any robins this time of year, whereas yesterday, for example, I had a flock of well over 50. Have you seen that in your yard or your area, Stephanie?
We haven't really been seeing a lot of robins.
I saw probably 24 sometime earlier this week, but nothing like the big flocks of them that you often associate with this time of the year.
Sure.
You know, and when you mentioned that about the bluebirds in the winter, was it 3 winters ago that we got the really late heavy snowfall in March? We lost a lot of robins that year that froze to death because they got back and there wasn't anything food for them. We had all kinds of people reporting robins eating seeds and robins eating suet and robins eating just about anything that they could find because they got back and were in the process of migrating, and we got hit by that late snow. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but they're a bird that can eat berries, and those their diet is more general and say a warbler, for example, but they do depend quite a bit on insects.
Yeah.
And if you want to laugh real hard right now, you can, because that house finch comes in.
We have had a lot of house finches this summer. Yes. We've seen a lot of house finches. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Well, I assume we can expect a few more because it really hasn't been that cold north of us yet. Now, there are things moving, but what would you say people should be on the lookout for?
I think any of the warbler species, they're definitely migrating through. There's still some hummingbirds coming through, although we've talked to a lot of people that wonder where they went. Starting 3-4 weeks ago, we started seeing a lot of hummingbirds just in our yard, and people were reporting seeing lots of hummingbirds. And then now this last week, talked to a number of people wondering if the migration's over. And we tell people there'll be birds coming through into mid-October. There'll be stragglers that are always still coming through. It seems like it. Maybe the bulk of those birds have moved through. And we get people that ask, "Hey, when is it okay to take down my hummingbird feeder?" For two reasons. One, there's people that want to make sure that they keep it out there and available, and then there's people that are under the assumption the hummingbirds are waiting for them to take down their feeders before the hummingbirds decide to go south, which is a wives' tale, I guess. They know far better than we do when to go, and they're going to go based on daylight, prevailing winds.
You don't wait for the last Canada goose to hitch a ride across the Gulf of Mexico, right?
Nope, that they don't. You'll have hawks coming through now, too. A lot of raptors coming through. The hawk watch over at the High Trestle Trail Bridge on October 2nd.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about some upcoming events. We know we've got that hawk watch. Are there any other bird watching events that you're aware of? Of course, our local Audubon chapter. Folks can get to their newsletter online, I'm sure, and find out, or better yet, ask a member or join the club.
Yeah. I haven't looked closely, but I just noticed that they released their fall schedule of field trips, and maybe the first one down at Sailorville,
I think.
Yeah, I noticed that. But we don't have any programs planned at the moment, although we will get some for October and probably early November.
And you say we're of course talking about Wild Birds Unlimited, located down on
213 Duff Avenue. And most people know it by we're next to the Dutch Oven Bakery.
There you go. So people can feed and then get feed for their birds.
Yes.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and present company included in that one, that's for sure. A quick question on bird feeding stations. You were mentioning upcoming events, and you have one that's important for bird feeders. What is that event that you guys are holding at the store?
Yeah, every fall we have a Boy Scout feeder cleaning fundraiser.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a huge fundraiser for the Gilbert Boy Scout Troop 157. You can bring your feeders to our store and drop them off, leave a donation for the scouts, and then on Saturday, October 9th, the scouts come with all of their scrub brushes, and we've got power hoses, and we have a whole system set up, and they will clean your bird feeders.
What if I use my car as a bird blind to watch my bird feeders? Will they wash my car, too?
We don't do a car wash. No, Mike.
Okay.
Probably should, though. That might be a good idea. You could sit out there and watch birds out your window, and they could clean your car. That's an idea.
That's funny. Stephanie and Todd Burris from Wild Birds Unlimited, located down on
213 Duff Avenue.
Here in Ames, Iowa. Is there anything else you guys would like to add at this time? Before we get outside and watch our feathered friends?
Never leave home without your binoculars.
A song from our favorite group. We too have a favorite group.
Simpsons!
It's not the Simpsons. No, it's not.
Tuning in, it's about 15 minutes after the hour, and I am Mike Metz along with Pat Schlerbaum and engineer Mike Murphy. And we welcome Mike Hellner, Prairie Rivers Public Relations Coordinator and Marketing Expert. He's with us this AM, and hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well here. Before we get into what we want to talk about, could you briefly describe what Prairie Rivers is for our listeners?
Yeah, well, we're a local nonprofit here in Ames. Prairie Rivers has been around for, this is our 21st year, and we really focus on conserving natural and cultural resources, helping to create a healthier environment and build thriving communities throughout Ames, Story County, and really across the state. So that's kind of us in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, okay, so yeah. We've got some events coming up, and I know folks from the city of Ames are going to be joining us later to speak to this as well. Could you review what's going to be coming up for our listeners?
Yeah, well, we've got a really fun event coming up this Friday night. It is the Wild and Scenic Film Festival presented by us, Prairie Rivers of Iowa. The theme for the festival this year is Where Activism Gets Inspired. And it features a collection of six documentary-style films about our environment that will hopefully entertain, educate, and, as the theme suggests, inspire. So they're really great, well-done professional films that I know everyone's going to enjoy. There'll be a couple guest presentations that I can talk about here in a minute, but let everybody know it's this Friday night. Doors open at 6:30, and it'll go till about 10. Yeah, well, tickets are available on our website. That's prrcd.org, or you can just Google Prairie Rivers of Iowa, and you'll find a easy link to get tickets right on the homepage of the website. And then dig a little deeper, it'll give you a full description of the film festival and all the films. And you can purchase tickets at the door, but if you go online, it helps you to avoid the rush. So
sure. Since you're a nonprofit, those go to help the various projects that you guys are involved in. Is that correct?
That's correct. Of course, a majority of the ticket sales for this will go to just to help us recover the cost, hopefully, for bringing the film festival to Iowa. But if any's left over, of course, goes to help out with our programs throughout the state. There will be a silent auction with some really great items. All the proceeds from that will directly go towards our programs to help improve the environment and work on some cultural heritage efforts that we also do along the Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway.
So could you, just for our listeners, describe what a silent auction is? I can't quite imagine the auctioneer standing up there
that kind of nails it right on the head. There's no auctioneer. They will have all the items laid out on a table, and there's a, I guess you'd call it a sign-up pad for each item, and you can see you'll be assigned a number, so it can, you know, you remain anonymous, and then, you know, people write in their bids.
Sure.
And you can kind of watch it like a real auction. You can kind of watch it climb, and hopefully you are the lucky person that gets the item that you want.
Yeah, it can be pretty competitive, I know, at some individuals.
Yeah.
As you get close to the deadline when things are going to close, people kind of hover around those. And
yeah,
in some ways, that helps the cause, because if you get two or three people that are really interested in an item, it can become just short of fisticuffs at times.
Yeah. So much like a real, you know, a auction that led by an auctioneer, only this one is even a little more personal, because, like I say, they're the folks that really want a particular item. They're going to hover over that. There's some. So it's going to be fun. There's some great items. There's some good few art items, including some microphotography of pollinators by myself, some good super book titles from Dr. Tom Rosberg. I think a lot of your listeners will know him, and some signed books from him. Some pollinator prairie/backyard restoration plan available from our wildlife coordinator, David Stein, who's an expert in native plants and pollinators, and some seed mixes for your prairie, some tours at Iowa Arboretum. One of our featured speakers, Chris Taliga, she's an ecologist with the NRCS National Plant Data Team. Her family's restoring 160 acres of Iowa prairie, and this is one that I would like to have for sure, is get a personal tour with Chris on that acreage and anything you'd ever want to know about Iowa native plants and prairie restoration. She's a go-to person for that. So that's going to be a wonderful tour. You get to think it's going to be kind of a little a ride for four on a gator across the prairie. So it sounds like a lot of fun. So plus a couple other things, some jams and Iowa-made homemade jams. And I think I mentioned the seed packets. So really looking forward to that. And I know based on our last event when we had a raffle with similar items, pretty hot items. So
sure.
You'll want to get in there and bid early.
Well, now, you mentioned prairie seed, and I know that you work with folks who are interested in maybe getting a little prairie started in their yard, or maybe they got a bigger area. Can you just briefly talk about how to go about doing that?
Well, as I mentioned, David Stein on our staff, he's a native plant expert, particularly plants native to Iowa, as well as, you know, plants that act as host plants for certain types of pollinators. So he can actually help you develop a plan for whether it's your backyard or, you know, large prairie, or you want to build some pollinator strips along some cropland or whatever. So he is really helpful in that way. There's pre-consultations and, you know, a small amount of work that he can do at no cost to anyone. And then if you need a big plan, then just very affordably priced accordingly. So that's available. And then we'll be starting up here pretty soon. I think next month, David's plan on starting the native seed bank that we do. So, and again, that's seeds available for anyone, whether you want to, you know, like myself, who kind of lives in the city, add some native plants to your small pollinator garden, or put some clover mixed in. Right now I'm trying to convert my lawn into clover rather than Kentucky bluegrass, so you can do that. But also seeds that are available for, you know, if you've got a larger area that you want to do some native seeds for that. So that's been going on for this will be the second or third year. I'm losing track, but it's been an extremely popular program. Folks can pick up seeds in the fall, especially ones that need to winter over before they sprout next year. You know, it helps get those going. And then that'll go till it runs out.
Yeah, I know that we've had David on earlier, actually quite recently. We were talking about the rusty patch bumblebee, but I know he's really excited about the plants that host pollinators, especially our native pollinators. And we need to remind listeners that if they're interested in a planting and they live in the city of Ames, it's good to talk with the planner with the city so you know where you can plant and some of the, for want of a better word, maybe covenances. Because I know if it's a well manicured and you put little signs up, as an educational thing, it's much more accepting to your neighbors than if there isn't some formality behind it. Is that your feeling, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. You know, especially if you're looking at converting a traditional lawn more into a pollinator habitat, you know, the neighbors might think, well, what's, you know, is he growing some weeds over there or what, you know? And then, of course, when things start blooming and growing well, especially after a year or two, then they you know, neighbors are quite enjoy it. So there's that, you know, and then make sure that you are violating, like say, any covenants or anything. And then that's part of the planning process too that David can help with, if particularly like if you live in an area where there's a homeowners association or, you know, other, you know, city covenants or whatever. He can work with you and help you work around that as well and make sure that you're doing things right.
That sounds great. And I know that some of these events, you're going to be combining your efforts along with the city of Ames, especially when it comes to the water quality issues that are coming up. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's, all of this is part of the Ames River Town of the Year celebration and continuing continuation of that. And so we're so proud and happy for the city of Ames to be designated River Town of the Year from Iowa Rivers Revival. So we're very honored to be a part of that, the film festival, of course. And then, as you mentioned, Mark, on the Kyler Water quality side, Dan Haugan, our staff, is going to help with, along with Liz from the city and some others, Tracy and maybe some members of the Skunk River Navy and a few others, doing some river cleanup this weekend on Saturday, the day after the film festival along Iowa Creek. So that's a big part of it. And, of course, throughout the year, we do a lot of work with water quality monitoring and do some volunteer and citizen science events and some things along that line.
Sure, that sounds great. Do you have anything to add before we join with the folks from the city?
Well, I'd just say make sure you get your tickets for the film festival. You're going to like it. The other thing I will say, too, is if you're really inspired by watching the films in person, there's going to be a 5 days of streaming afterwards that you can restream and rewatch. Or if you aren't able to make it to the city auditorium on Friday night, ticket holders still get streaming available, so you can always watch it there. And other than that, I'd say, you know, everybody, you know, we all own a piece of the environment, and we all should do our part to help, like we said, whether it's your own, you know, pollinator garden in your own backyard, helping with the river cleanup, doing some citizen science, helping out with water quality monitoring, identifying issues, cleaning up, whatever it might be, every little bit helps.
So every little bit helps.
The film festival, yeah.
As far as the cleanup and also some of the projects that we're talking about here, definitely help with conserving those items that prevent more distribution of greenhouse gases into our environment and hopefully add to better water quality as well. So, Mike Kellner, thank you from the Prairie Rivers, marketing and communications expert with Prairie Rivers. Please feel free to stay with us because we may have a question for you as we visit with Tracy and Susan. Since this is kind of a co-event, I think listeners might appreciate any input. I'm sure Tracy wouldn't mind as well. So thank you, Mike. And
I'll hang around.
Yeah, okay. And right now it's about the halfway point in the program, and if you're just tuning in with us, I am Mike Metz along with Pat Schlerbaum and engineer Mike Murphy, and we want to welcome Susan Guiasta, communications officer for the City of Ames, along with municipal engineer Tracy Peterson. They're both with us. Hello.
Hey, Mike, great to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I was was gone last week on my Tuesday, and Pat just graciously filled in, and he's still smiling. So, yeah. So what have we got before we turn this over to Tracy? Susan, do we have any announcements?
Sure. Tonight is a regularly scheduled city council meeting. It will be the last council meeting of the month of September. That starts at 6 p.m. Again, if you just want to watch, you can monitor the council meeting from our Facebook Live and YouTube live streams. You can also watch it live from our video streaming off the website, cityofames.org. Just look for the Channel 12 icon and you can get the meeting that way. If you want to participate, you need to come to City Hall. We have those meetings in person, City Council Chambers, 515 Clark Avenue. And again, that starts at 6 p.m. Just a couple of things as we get into October. The Healthiest State Walk is coming up. That's Wednesday, October 6th at noon. We do a Healthiest State Walk around the downtown area, usually led by our city council, sometimes the mayor and city council. This time, the mayor will not be able to join us, but our city council members will be there to lead the group on a one-mile walk around downtown, which is a great way to spend part of your lunch break. And the idea, the emphasis again, is how it isn't difficult to add a little movement to your day to add to your physical and mental health. So October 6th, we usually have typically very nice weather at noon in front of City Hall. Join us for a really refreshing walk around downtown.
Sounds great, especially in October. Our leaves are starting to show a little color about this time of year, and should be a great walk. And gosh, maybe there won't be too many insects. We seem to have been blessed this year
right.
on that. So sounds like a great time for all.
So just a couple of more things, because we do have a lot of outreach right now on various focuses that the city is directing resources. One of them is climate action planning. One of them has often been sustainability. Just a quick note that October 3rd, the City of Ames will participate in Ecumenical Services at St. Cecilia's Church, where we'll be talking about some of the sustainability efforts of the City of Ames and how people can get involved. Our participation at that service really is just primarily for education. We were asked specifically to talk about what kind of efforts is the city focusing its energy on regarding sustainability. So we'll talk about the way that we've provided services, where we have implemented biodiesel fuel in our plows. We'll talk about our incentives for residents to pay attention, again, to our clean waterways through our native landscaping and rain barrel rebates. And we'll talk about things like the SunSmart Ames Community Solar Farm, which is generating almost 2 megawatts of energy on the south side of Ames. So we have that coming up. But I know Tracy and I know Mike also spoke about just some events this week that relate directly to sustainability and making an effort to be reducing our carbon footprint and environmentally friendly. So I will let them, let Tracy talk about some of her projects and what's going on this week. Thanks, Mike.
Tracy, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
What exactly do you want to talk about here? I think the flow is a little rough, but we'll get past the rapids and get downstream so you can talk here.
It's great to be here. Tonight at City Council, the mayor is going to read a Watershed Awareness Month proclamation. And so we have continued the great water quality testing collaboration with other communities in Story County and Prairie Rivers of Iowa, and City of Huxley, Nevada, Gilbert, and the Leopold Center, and Story County Community Foundation and Isaac Walton League, as well as the Story County Soil and Water Conservation. And so I heard you talking about water quality a little bit ago, and we continue to do volunteer water quality monitoring and sampling throughout the county. And then we all work on projects where we can improve water quality throughout the county.
What's interesting is it seems like there are more individuals and entities getting involved, because I think folks are realizing that it's not just Iowa Creek or Skunk River, but it's the entire watershed that we're talking about. Is that the way we're trying to approach this, Tracy?
It is. I just changed my microphone. Hopefully that helped.
That helped. Thank you.
Yes, Watershed Awareness Month is October, but we are looking at watershed throughout the entire year and with everything that we are working on. And we have Iowa Creek Watershed Management Authority, and we have the headwaters of the South Skunk River Watershed Management Authority. But we are looking at all watersheds. So we have so many waterways in Ames that we have Clear Creek, College Creek, Onion Creek, Whirly Creek. And those all lead to Iowa Creek, and Iowa Creek leads to the South Skunk River. So you are in a watershed no matter where you are in Ames and surrounding. And so then we take that even further out into those various large creeks and tributaries in the county, as we work with Story County Conservation and bring awareness to everybody.
Yeah, and that awareness, I know there's a big educational component that is, I think more people are becoming aware that whatever they do on their property will affect the watershed, because, like you say, we're in a watershed at one step or another. We're all included in those. So take it from there.
We are. So, yeah, we have cost share rebates that can help. This fall is a great time to be, as Mike was talking about, planting some native plants. We have a soil quality restoration cost share as well that can help with getting the lawn decompacted and aerated and add some compost and get those native plants established. And then we have rain barrels and composters as well as rain gardens. So there's a lot of exciting opportunities. And now is also a good time to be planting those native trees, and we have rebates for those as well. And, talking about water quality, this
this weekend, or this week, Thursday night, we have a person who is extremely passionate coming in to talk at the, in the auditorium. Chad Pergacki's the founder of a group where he had a passion, he saw it, and founded the Living Lands and Water, and is doing a lot of river cleanup in the Mississippi River area. And so we have him coming into the auditorium, and he will be giving a presentation at 7 o'clock with book signing at 8. So we are really excited about that event.
Yeah, that Chad Pergacki is one of the best resources the Mississippi River ever created. He started there and has taken his program worldwide. So I'm sure that he'll touch on a lot of key topics that people will find informative, interesting. And Pat Schlarbaum is one of the key fans of Chad Pergacki.
You know, what really impressed me when I first heard about Chad and learned about some of the things was the ability he had to work with cooperators. For an example, get a barge along the Mississippi River and be able to fill that with things that they were picking up along the shoreline. I don't know that I would think about doing something like that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And it sounds like it's going to be a great program.
It will. And, you know, that just, it goes to show you why he was named the 2013 CNN Hero of the Year. You know, just the ability to think out of the box on how to haul that trash, because that trash that comes out of the, I mean, it's amazing what people dispose of in creeks and rivers, but hauling it out is a lot of work. It is very heavy and or awkward. You know, so we find appliances in our creeks and massive quantities of tires that, you know, it's just, it, to you and I, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why necessarily that they end up there, but it really takes a lot of work to haul it out. And we often use canoes, but this creek cleanup, I think we're going to end up having to use wagons because we are so dry. But, you know, it shows his innovation in using those barges and towboats and cranes and excavators. You know, I've seen him present before, and it was very inspiring.
Out of the Mississippi River, there is some farming that occurs, and I saw an image of him extracting a tractor from one of the islands that had been there forever, and he had a crane on the barge, and it's just incredible. The man will come up with a solution for any challenge that comes forward when it comes to cleaning up a river. He's just great.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've got to backtrack just a little bit and go back to plantings we were talking about in some of the city, in a private property, that folks need to remember to call 811, 811, because there's telephone lines and cables and all kinds of things in your yard, and I wouldn't want to be digging a hole to put a tree in and then suddenly cut my phone line, or worse, a cable or a gas line. So is that the number to call, Tracy, I assume, for city as well?
Yes, it is. So it's Iowa One Call is what we refer to it as, and we want to make sure that, yes, all the services and our mains are located. So we have a lot of utilities even between the curb and the sidewalk. If you're ending up planting a street tree, those are, there's certain species that we allow to be in that area, but we have a lot of big utilities through there as well. And then, of course, all the services that come into your house. So if you think of your internet provider, your phone, your gas service, you know, all of those, electric service, water, sanitary. So you do want to make sure to call that 811 Iowa One Call to get those utilities located.
And that is one of those things that you don't think about it. You maybe even if you've seen those lines go in, our memories become clouded and the foliage and things change. So best to make that call, because we don't want an accident or somebody getting hurt. Let alone having a service disrupted for maybe not only you, but for your neighborhood, or worse.
Oh. Right. So I did the deep tine aeration and soil quality restoration in my front yard, and I have a communications cable. There's an easement that goes through my front yard. And so going east to west, there was this cable. And so with having it located, then we just did not aerate right over it. We were next to it and around it, but we chose to go around it because those aren't that deep. Sometimes they are just almost at the bottom of the sod level, of that grass level, and so making sure that you are conscious of those.
Well, I just thought about we better think about that, too. Well, all our good intentions, we certainly don't want to disrupt some of our services. So, Tracy, do you have anything else to add to the activities? Or Mike, if you've got something to add as well, please feel free to jump in here.
The other thing I would say on the native plants is just to keep the height of the native vegetation around your driveways probably 3 feet or under, you know, about 2 feet, so that you can make sure you have a sight distance as you're pulling out of your driveway, or that your neighbors can see as they're pulling out of their driveway. So some of the taller natives can restrict that. And so just be conscious of that as well as you're doing your planting plans. And this week, we are just very excited to have 3 days of water quality events. So really appreciating the River Town of the Year designation and just the great ability to celebrate that in the fall here is in partnering with Prairie Rivers of Iowa. So yes, definitely check out the Facebook pages for Mike's been doing a great job of posting those out on Facebook, and the city's sharing them as well. So Chad Pragacki on September 30th, the presentation's at 7, but we're going to open the doors at 6:30.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for all of the information. And thank you, Susan. And we will join you later in the week. For now, we'll go on to our next personality. So thanks again, folks.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come.
Anna Banana, what have you got for our listeners today with your heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messaging?
Today, it is Tune-In Tuesday, one of my favorite days of the week, as I tempt you to try and listen to KHOI. All right, we missed you last week, Mike Metz, but Pat, of course, did a fantastic job. But I want you...
Well, you're appealing, and he just kind of slipped in and did a great job, right? You guys are a great bunch.
So, Mike Metz, I know that you missed the start, so I've got a question for you. A serious local talk question for you. What did the teddy bear say after blowing out his birthday candles?
What did the teddy bear say after blowing out his birthday candles?
And I'm going to warn you, you're not going to get it. But
you light up my life?
Ooh, good one. Nope. This is what the teddy bear said after blowing out his birthday candles. No cake for me. I'm stuffed. Listen to the groans. Well, this teddy bear might change his mind about being stuffed and no cake for him.
Yeah.
After Donna and Lana share a recipe for a birthday cake for grown-ups and other baking adventures. So I wonder what a grown-up birthday cake is.
It sounds too healthy for me. I don't know.
Oh, so you're going grown up, meaning that's got like protein and whey and nuts and stuff like that, rather than a grown up cake with like tequila cooked into it.
Oh.
Right. So that's another version of grown up. But we don't know. We'll have to find out by tuning in.
Yeah.
And so what else will they be talking about? Well, they're going to be talking about mending your jeans, the slow fashion movement, which I have no idea what that is, want to know more, and wabi-sabi. And there's even more today, a dip into the archives for a surprising take on sauerkraut Munster tart, which I'm sorry, that sounds gross, but okay, we'll find out what this surprising take is on sauerkraut. Now, you might be asking, what is this show that where people are talking about slow fashion moments, grown-up cakes, and sauerkraut? Well, it's the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. So the Donna Lana Kitchen Show talks about food, farming, recipes, and opinions as Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor when on Tuesdays at noon and repeated at 7 p.m.
Can of banana. Now,
ooh, how did that slip in there? Goodness gracious. That's not going to be on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. Now, I want to tell you something, Mike Metz. I took a baking class, and the final was a piece of cake.
We got to rise out of that one.
Now, listening to Sam Wormley and Mike Metz in Science Bites at 4:30 is always a piece of cake. But what will we be learning in your radio classroom today?
Well, today, Mary Richards is going to continue with her Women in Science series, and that should be interesting. So stay tuned on that. There's an individual she's talking to, and then Sam and I have done a follow-up interview, hopefully for the following week.
Oh, that sounds good. So everyone can listen to Sam Wormley and Mike Metz on Science Bites at 4:30 today. Now, after listening to Science Bites and feeling a bit smarter, you can then later tune in, or a lot smarter. I say a little or a lot smarter. You can later tune in at 8:30 p.m. to listen to the Heart to Heart Messages show. Now, it should be an interesting show today because the guest is David Bynum, who was born and adopted at birth in Columbus, Ohio. He is a married father of three and grandfather of six. He is a U.S. Army veteran and a retired correctional officer. Now, David recently retired from coaching high school football at a high school due to COVID-19. And David and his wife, Marie, own ByDam Multimedia, which is the parent company to Star107FM.com, an online radio station that has a global presence. Now, his company recently produced his latest award-winning documentary release, which is titled From a Place of Love, My Adoption Journey, which is gaining national attention in the adoption foster care community. And so he's going to be talking about how he found his birth parents. And it is a very, very interesting story. So he'll be sharing about his own story, searching for his biological parents, and then creating this documentary that he's just released. Now, from what I shared about David, the guest for Heart to Heart Messages, what do you think I will be playing during Heart to Heart Messages for the music break, Mike Metz?
Love is a many splendid thing.
That is absolutely incorrect. But I will Sorry, Mike Metz, one of these days. But actually, one of the songs that we're going to play during the music break is from the soundtrack that has been, I guess, a popular download. So David Bynum will be sharing that during our Heart to Heart Messages music break. Now, Mike Murphy, heard that mending jeans will be a topic on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. So this question is for you. Do you know what did Michael Jackson call his denim store? So what did Michael Jackson call his denim store?
I'm going to go with Billie Jean's.
Yes, that is correct. You are correct. So will we hear Billie Jean's or any other Michael Jackson songs on You Name It this Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m., you smarty pants answering that question correctly?
We will not. I enjoyed last week's Hispanic Heritage program so much that I decided to break out the one that we did last year, originally aired on October 1st, 2020, and so it's going to be a rerun. But if anybody asks, it's an encore presentation.
Nice. Well, that'll be great. And to close out our month with You Name It this Thursday, because September is almost over, which I cannot even believe. So, Pat Schlarbaum, you there?
Yes.
Okay. So we also learned on Local Talk that on the Donna Lana Kitchen Show that they will be discussing the slow fashion movement, which, again, I have no idea what this is, but I'm very curious. How is it a slow fashion movement compared to a fast fashion movement? So, have you heard the one about the pushover fashion designer? Have you heard about this?
I have not. Enlighten me, please.
So the one about the pushover fashion designer, he was easily swayed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you, Anna Banana.
Yes. So I hope that as you are listening to this Tune In Tuesday, that you were easily swayed to tune in to KHOI 89.1 FM to listen to great programming like All Things Piano with our friend Tom Russell this morning after Local Talk. Well, we've been talking about the Donna Lana Kitchen Show. You should definitely listen to that show. You name it. Mike Murphy told you it's going to be an encore presentation of some amazing music. Community Bookshelf with Mary Richards, and then you can also hear Mary Richards again on Science Bites and Heart to Heart Messages, just to name a few of your listening options to make your Tuesday and all your days a great one. So any comments or questions about what we're going to listen to, Mike Metz, or any comments or ratings of the jokes that I've shared on Local Talk so far?
Well, the jokes are just stellar. I mean, you know, you always come up with things that are out of this world, Anna.
So. And I will say this, I crack myself up. I don't know about everybody else out there, but if you're out there listening and you have a joke that you would prefer, or you just would like to tell me, you know what, it just ain't funny, you can, like, call KHOI. Don't call me, but call the KHOI line and let them know, what do you think about Anna Banana's Tune In Tuesday joke? All right. Any other comments? Ooh, I feel
yes.
Like a comment's on the
there,
way.
There is a comment, and those reactions that our listeners are hearing are brought to you by the amazing universe of Michael Murphy's soundboard.
See, that's good. We have fun on Tuesday, Tune In Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. Now, to close out the Tune In Tuesday heart-to-heart messages, I'm going back to you, Mike Metz. You ready for it?
Ready.
All right. So what do you call a fashion designer that rejects everything? Again, this is in honor of Donna Lana Kitchen Show mm-hmm. about the slow fashion movement and mending your jeans. Again, what do you call a fashion designer that rejects everything?
Secondhand store.
How about...
Oh, that's good. Nope.
Oh, Mike Murphy's got a comment.
Okay.
Calvin Klein.
Did you Google that, Mike Murphy?
No, I didn't Google it.
All right, yes. Well, I That's hope that you don't decline. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you can tell that I am not a slave to fashion. I don't know any of these answers.
Well, that's good. I didn't think anybody would get that one. That's right. It is Calvin Decline. Now, don't you decline my invitation to turn the show back over to you, Pat Schlarbaum.
Well, thank you for joining us once again, Anna Banana.
Yeah. KHOI provides a platform for citizen public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. I just want to say that we had a great time on the Octagon Art Walk, and we were out there with our studio information. Met a lot of folks, got a few more volunteers. There's still time for our listeners to volunteer. We're always looking for more. So heads up, folks. This program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg. A tip of the chapeau to engineer Mike Murphy. And thank you, neighbor Pat Schlarbaum. You heard from Stephanie and Todd Burris of Wild Birds Unlimited, located here in Ames. Mike Kellner, Public Relations and Marketing with Prairie Rivers. Susan Guiasta, Communications Officer. And Tracy Peterson, Municipal Engineer with the City of Ames. I've been your host, Mike Metz.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org. And find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Our website is khoifm.org. Consider becoming a member and making KHOI your community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member.
This is KHOI Story City Ames. The Local Talk theme song is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris in their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and All Things Piano at 9 a.m. Now remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI. And
see you again
on the radio.